Hello and welcome to the podcast of Sound the Trumpet, How to Blow Your Own Horn by Jonathan Harnham and read by me, John Harnham. Thanks for listening. This week we're doing chapter 17, So Many Trumpets, So Little Time. And the epigraph is from W.S. Gilbert, who of course is one half of the Gilbert and Sullivan songwriting musicians extraordinaire. And he said, "If you wish in this world to advance, your merits you're bound to enhance. You must stir it and stump it and blow your own trumpet, or trust me, you haven't a chance." This chapter covers a bunch of different types of trumpet that I wish I had known about when I was first learning. We're going to talk about the flugelhorn, C trumpet, E flat trumpet, D trumpet, piccolo trumpet, and some other forms of trumpet. Some terms you should know. A piston valve is a type of valve that uses the up and down motion of a cylindrical tube to divert air to the appropriate slide. This was invented in around 1815, 1820. The rotary valve is a type of valve that uses a rotating motion of a cylindrical tube. So instead of going up and down like the piston slide, this one turns, spins, and that diverts air to the appropriate slide. The overtone series, also known as the harmonic series, tones above a fundamental pitch, which are related to the fundamental, are known as the overtones. As you blow harder or faster through a tube, you're going to play successively higher tones, overtones. These are the tones that are in the overtone series. I'm going to talk about a few odd instruments too. Superbone is one. It's a slide trombone with valves invented by Maynard Ferguson. And it's related to a very interesting trumpet called the Firebird. There will be links on the podcast website to the Firebird. It is basically a slide trumpet. It's got working valves, but it's also got a small working slide, much like a trombone slide. So we're going to get to that too. So, a trumpet for every occasion. The B-flat trumpet is far and away the most common trumpet in the world, but there are a lot of others which you can and should explore. Some trumpets, like the flugelhorn, have a special sound that works well with certain tunes, certain genres. Others, like the C and E-flat trumpets, are pitched in a certain key to make playing a piece easier. And, of course, there's the piccolo trumpet, an instrument whose range is an octave above that of regular B-flat trumpet, or C or E-flat. They come in several keys, too. All these horns have specific uses and also particular challenges that are slightly different than those of the B-flat trumpet. And so it's good to know what you're getting yourself into. So this chapter is going to cover the basics of all of these types of trumpets, and then some. So let's get into it. And as I'm looking at this, I realize that I haven't included the B-flat trumpet, which is the most common instrument, at least in the United States. It's probably the instrument that you're playing on. I'm going to start with the cornet. The cornet is the second most common type of trumpet after the B-flat trumpet. The cornet's also in the key of B-flat, but it has a more mellow tone than the trumpet because it has a conical bore, like the French horn. A conical bore means that the tubing of the instrument is cone-shaped as opposed to cylindrical. So the cornet has a very gradual conical shape, about 33% slope, I guess they call it. I'm not sure what they call that. Whereas the tubing of the next type of trumpet, the flugelhorn, is 100% conical. So the flugelhorn is even more mellow of a tone than the cornet. The more conical, the more mellow the sound. Cornet music used to be very popular, especially in the heyday of the concert band in the late 1800s and through the early 1900s. And the influence of the cornet can still be seen today in every school band across the country, both the instrument itself being in the band, but also the parts has parts for both cornet and trumpet. Usually there are 6 or 9 cornet parts and 2 trumpet parts. These days we use trumpet for pretty much everything. If you would like to see pictures of the cornets, they're up on the podcast website, which is trumpetbook.wordpress.com. The flugelhorn is a really cool-sounding instrument. It's been used in classical music, but it's primarily a jazz instrument. The flugelhorn is a conical bore instrument, like the French horn. And instruments with a conical bore, like I mentioned, have a mellower tone, and the flugelhorn is no exception. It's often used for ballads and softer tunes because it's not as loud of an instrument, not as piercing of an instrument. It can still play pretty loud, though. Often in a jazz band setting, a tune will call for the entire trumpet section to use the flugelhorn. Some excellent players were, Freddie Hubbard played it. Most jazz players also play the flugelhorn. Art Farmer, fantastic. Of course, everyone used to know Chuck Mangione. Anyway, flugelhorns come in both 3- and 4-valve versions. Because they're notoriously out of tune in their extreme low and high registers, a fourth valve can be used to correct these troubles with pitch. Some other famous flugelhorn players that you might want to check out. I mentioned Art Farmer. There's also Hugh Masekela, who's a South African flugelhorn player. Art Farmer also played a hybrid horn made by Dave Monette. It's called a flumpet, which is a mashup of flugelhorn and trumpet. And the flumpet has qualities of both the flugelhorn and the trumpet. It's a pretty cool-looking instrument. It's got a very dense, dark, warm sound. I'd love to have one, but they're pretty expensive. The next trumpet we're going to talk about is the C trumpet. C trumpet after the B-flat trumpet is probably the most commonly used trumpet in orchestral music. A lot of orchestral trumpet parts are written in C, and if you don't like transposing by sight, you can just buy yourself a C trumpet. If you'd like to know more about what that means, transposing by sight, you're going to have to wait a chapter. Get to that next. So the C trumpet is shorter than B-flat trumpet. It's shorter length of tubing. It's shorter by the length of the first vowel slide, or a whole step. So that this makes the C trumpet higher by a whole step. You should really only consider buying a C trumpet if you're serious about playing classical music. And there's some pictures of C trumpets on the website. There's also E-flat and D trumpets. Two trumpets for the price of one. They usually have interchangeable lead pipes and sometimes bells that will help you convert between the E-flat and the D trumpet. Some are just one or the other, like E-flat is probably more common. These trumpets aren't used nearly as much as the first three. They're notoriously difficult to play in tune, but they're useful when you're playing a piece that requires an E-flat or a D transposition. And the E-flat trumpet is often used for both the Haydn and Hummel concerti, both of which are in E-flat. So basically what that means is instead of playing, say, an E-flat, which has four flats, you'd be playing in the key of C. So no sharps and no flats. It makes it a little easier. The E-flat trumpet sounds a perfect fourth higher than the E-flat trumpet. And the D trumpet, of course, is a major third higher than the B-flat trumpet. The piccolo trumpet is the highest sounding trumpet, but don't get your hopes up for playing in like an easy double high C. The difficulties in range with this instrument are the same as with a normal B-flat trumpet, so playing high is still difficult, relatively so. And piccolo trumpets come in both B-flat and A versions, often with interchangeable bells and or lead pipes, just like the E-flat and D trumpets. And in that way, one horn can do double duty. Piccolo trumpets are also used pretty much exclusively in classical music. Maurice André pioneered the use of the piccolo trumpet as a solo instrument, and he's just a fantastic player. I'll put up some links to some of his music on the site. Next up is the pocket trumpet. So, like, if you're going on a road trip, like a backpacking trip, don't forget to take your pocket trumpet. They're little. They sound exactly like a B-flat trumpet, at least they're in the same range. The tubing is wrapped much more tightly, which makes them more compact. Pocket trumpets are more for convenience than really anything else. If you have access to a full-size horn, you'll probably find that it plays better and sounds better than a pocket trumpet. But a full-size horn, of course, doesn't fit very well into a suitcase or a backpack or a large pocket. The free jazz pioneer Don Cherry usually played a pocket trumpet. He had a little mute that he put in and everything. He was actually one of his signature instruments, I guess you could say. Fantastic musician, too. So next I've got some pictures of a rotary valve trumpet. The trumpets you're probably most familiar with have piston valves. That is, valves that work up and down like the pistons in a car engine. A rotary valve trumpet has valves which move the airstream by rotation of the valve instead of the valve moving up and down. French horn and some tubas use rotary valves. Rotary valves need a little more maintenance than piston valves. Some pictures there. And modern orchestras in Germany and Austria still use rotary valve trumpets, and more than just Germany and Austria. There are players in the United States and all over the world that use this kind of trumpet. They're being used more frequently in this country now, especially in the works of Austro-German classical and romantic composers, like, you know, from Mozart to Mahler. And some feel that a little bit of a warmer tone quality of the rotary valve trumpet is more similar in sound to the natural trumpet used in the classical and early romantic periods. So for the later romantic period in the 19th and early 20th century, the rotary valve trumpet was the trumpet then in use. And so to preserve the authenticity of the sound, you know, of what the composer was envisioning in his inner ear, the rotary valve trumpets are still used for these pieces, just to be more authentic. Next, even less common are heraldic trumpets. These are pretty fun. They're usually in the key of B flat or C. They can also be found in the key of G or A and others. A lot of times you'll see banners hung from the extra long bell of these for an added effect. But this makes the horn much more difficult to hold up, especially for long periods. They're shaped for visual effect, not really playability. They are fun to play and add a certain pomp and circumstance to special occasions, but they're kind of a hassle. So here's a trumpet that you can't have, the Firebird. As I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, this was developed and played by Maynard Ferguson in the 70s. It's a trumpet, but has a little bitty trombone slide, similar to a trombone slide, attached to it. The bell sweeps upward a little bit so that it clears the slide. Originally, the slide only had three positions, but apparently in 2000 or so, Maynard toured with a seven-position Firebird. If you know a trumpet manufacturer or someone who's good at tinkering with things, you might talk them into making you one. Otherwise, you're pretty much out of luck. I think Holton made these for a while, but they don't make them anymore. There are only a couple of these seven-position horns in existence, as far as I know. Satish is the name of an artist that I have some links to, playing a Firebird. He actually goes on at length explaining what it is and how it works. There are four or five of these videos, which are helpful. It's a pretty interesting instrument. But if you like the idea of playing with a slide, all hope is not lost. You can find yourself a soprano trombone, which is much easier to do than trying to find a Firebird. In fact, I just got one of these for my birthday a couple weeks ago. I am so excited to mess around with it and try it out. Miraphone makes a pretty good one. You can get one pretty cheaply, around $180, $200. It's not the best kind of, there are better ones out there, better slide action, better tone quality. But for something just to mess around with, I have this, just the really cheap one, and I'm really happy with it. The soprano trombone has the same range as the trumpet, but changing notes is a lot different. It's tricky if you've never used a slide. Any beginning trombone book will help you start to figure out where the slide positions are, but it's better to just use your ear, I think. That's what I'm doing. The tone of this instrument is mellow and warm. It's a lot like a flugelhorn. And playing this itty-bitty trombone will take a pretty good ear if you want to play in tune. It's a really fun instrument. And it's really interesting visually because it's just so small. You don't see them very often. So that's another option. Now, if it's got valves, you can probably play it. There's no reason you have to stick with only trumpets. Once you understand the fingering patterns on a trumpet, you can transfer that knowledge to pretty much any instrument that uses three or four valves. Some of your options are mellophone, which is a marching instrument, sousaphone, another marching instrument, tuba, baritone, euphonium, valve trombone, French horn, and the superbone, like I mentioned before, that's a trombone with valves on it, working slide trombone. So if it's got valves, you can probably play it. Another option that I would like to have is called a bass trumpet. It looks like a trumpet. It's in the range of a trombone. It just has valves, and it's large. Okay, so we've talked about instruments with valves. There are also natural trumpets. Natural trumpets don't have valves, and in some ways they're a little more difficult to play, especially if you're doing a piece like the Brandenburg Concerto, which was written for natural trumpet. Now, natural trumpets, of course, are restricted to the notes in the overtone series. Because they don't have a valve that changes the length of the horn, you're stuck with the length that the horn is. For example, a bugle. It is what it is. There are no valves to redirect air and make it longer. So it's in one particular key. And it's restricted to the overtone series in that key. As you get higher in the overtone series, the notes become closer together, and if you want to actually play a scale, you know, of adjacent notes on the staff, you have to play pretty high in the range. So this is one of the things that makes them difficult. In the book, there are some natural trumpets pictured below. One's a bugle. There's the over-the-shoulder Rhine horn. I'll put some links of this to these on the site. There's a double-belled ceramic bugle / euphonium. And you can also make your own trumpet out of a garden hose with a funnel on the end of it. And I'll put a link to that on the site, too. Another natural trumpet that is probably one of the oldest ones on the planet is the didgeridoo. And in chapter 23, you're going to go over how to play those, because it's fun and it's pretty easy. And if you can play trumpet, you can probably play didgeridoo, too. So that's it for this chapter, short chapter. If all you have is your trusty B-flat trumpet and you've got a piece of music that calls for E-flat trumpet, there's no need to worry. You can transpose the part in your head. Now you have to practice this, of course. The next chapter is all about transposition, so reading one pitch and playing a different pitch. Sounds a little confusing, but it's pretty easy to understand. It just takes a little while to practice and to become good at this skill, and you can find all about it in the next chapter. So that's it for this week. Thanks for listening. Remember, you can find all kinds of extra links, helpful resources on the podcast website, which is trumpetbook.wordpress.com, and you can find additional information for trumpet playing and music reading and many other things at allabouttrumpet.com. Especially check out the videos out up there. They're changed every week or two, and I try to find really interesting musical examples, both trumpet players specifically and also other musics. So go have a look. There's a free music theory book there. There's some other free PDFs, and I encourage you to check it out. And if you can see your way to buying something from the store, something that you need, I hope, that would be great, because that's one of the ways that I help support this podcast and that website. So thanks for listening. Good luck with your practice.